1 Corinthians this evening for the next little bit. I'm going back to just recapping what we were talking about last Wednesday night when we were talking about the Holy Spirit and growing in the Spirit and the Holy Spirit's indwelling within us. And as I started to study for this week's Wednesday night service, I could not get past the end of chapter number 2. The Lord kept bringing me back to it, so we're not going to get very far tonight. We're not going to probably not get into chapter number 3. I'm not going to go back over the things that I went over in chapter number 2 last time, but I want us to look at some new things in the end of chapter number 2 dealing with the Holy Spirit. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Just a few things that we didn't look at last time. And I'm just going to start in verse number 9, and I'm going to read through verse number 16, and then I'll pray. And then for the few minutes here, we'll just look at what the Lord would have us to in the time allotted. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and verse number 9, it was written, "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Well, let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, I just ask for your help tonight. It's a blessing to be here, a privilege and an honor. I thank you for all those that have come out. But Lord, I need your help tonight. I need you to straighten out everything that you've put on my heart this afternoon, this evening. And Father, make it understandable through the Holy Spirit as you speak through my lips, Lord. I pray that you help me get my flesh out of the way. And Lord, just feed me with your thoughts. And I pray that my words, Lord, I pray that the words come from my mouth by you, Lord, fall on open ears and softened hearts, Lord, to be receptive and to help us grow this evening as Christians. And Father, we sure do love you and we thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I was going back over this scripture, I had, like I said, planned on moving on, and the Lord wouldn't let me get past this and was starting to show me some things in this scripture that I hope will be a blessing to you. As I said before, we were dealt last time in the end of chapter number 2 a lot with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And as new Christians especially, and Sister Shirley came to me after the service last time and said, you know, would it be good if what you just mentioned, if what you just preached and taught about, if it'd be great for new converts? And it would have been, because a lot of people don't know that once they get saved, you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You've got that Spirit of the Lord that lives inside you, and so many people miss that. But we're looking at just a few things here in these verses from last time. Verse number 11, the Spirit searches for God's wisdom. The unsaved searches for man's wisdom. Man cannot know the things of God, but the things can be known by man through the Spirit. There's two different ways that the world looks at things. There's the Christians, the way they look at things, and then I say the world, but not to get confused here. Two different ways man can look at things. One way the world looks at them, and the one way that God looks at them. As Christians, we look through God's eyes because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. But the unsaved searches man's wisdom. They're not going to line up. They're going to be head-to-head butting together, or butting heads together. They're not going to look at things the same way. Verses 12 and 13, It says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. As it saved individuals, we have the spirit of God within us, that we might know the things that are freely given. The Lord wants everybody to have that mind of Christ, that they could be obedient unto him and know what he sees and know what pleases him. He wants everybody to have that. Not in man's wisdom, the way they teach, but as the Holy Ghost teaches. To have that mind of Christ, Paul states that we should speak not in man's wisdom as the way it teaches, but the way the Holy Ghost teaches. Every time we open our mouth, there's enough of the world out there. The Christians are like the minority. There's enough of the world out there spreading its worldly wisdom. But what the world needs is godly wisdom from us. Now, they're not going to understand it. But as Christians, we need to be that salt and that light. It's supposed to be different. It's supposed to be a little out of the norm, because we've got the mind of Christ, that we might know the things that are freely given. Paul states we should speak it. When we speak, we should speak from the heart, and that the Holy Spirit indwells, and not with words of the flesh. That's the way Christians ought to speak. It shouldn't be, and I've seen it before, as many try to fit in with the world and try to find favor with the world, so-called Christians. They call themselves Christians. They speak to the world with worldly wisdom. Now, God gives wisdom to us with things. If we ask God, you know, as long as we don't ask amiss, God says, you ask for wisdom, I'll give it to you in how to fix things, how to do things. There's no doubt about that. But not in worldly wisdom, but in his wisdom, we ought to speak things. When somebody's got a problem, it shouldn't be just like counseling. It should be biblical scripture counseling whenever somebody asks a question. Not just the way, well, I saw this on TV or I heard somebody do this. It should be from the heart, from the Holy Spirit. God's wisdom that comes from our heart and not with words of the flesh. Comparing Bible wisdom to Bible wisdom and applying God's wisdom to our thoughts. I'm going somewhere with this, so bear with me. When we're looking at the Spirit that lives inside of us and the way we should be walking and talking each and every day in the world, we should be comparing Bible wisdom to Bible wisdom, God's wisdom to the Bible and the Bible to God's wisdom. It ought to be going back and forth. When I look at this, I look at Proverbs number 1 and just the things of wisdom. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the world's the words of understanding. And I want you to understand too, this wisdom comes from God. It's not man's wisdom. But the wisdom that's spoken in Proverbs is the wisdom from God, seeking his face. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and instruction. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, wise godly counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretations, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That wisdom that we ought to be sharing, as it's written in Proverbs here, it comes from the Lord. It should be obtained from the Lord. It should be sought from the Lord, the things that we should do. Verse number 14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. The worldly man, if they can't learn it in the world, and if it doesn't come from the world, they don't want to do it. It's foolishness unto them. Neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, as we were getting into the Spirit, I know I brought it last Wednesday night, and whenever Brother Jeff was here Sunday, he brought up something, and he asked the congregation, about getting in the Word and growing spiritually. And when he did, it got deathly silent in the church. And it struck me as odd. I was like, what was that? We're all indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We should all be trying to grow spiritually. Paul says when we speak, it shouldn't be through the spirit of the world, but through the spirit of God that dwells within us. We should also, and I'm going back to this spirit and growing spiritually as I go through some, like I said, I'm going somewhere with this. We should also, as it's written, which the Holy Ghost teaches, compare spiritual things with spiritual. That word rendering or comparing means to properly to collect, to join, to mingle, to unite together, then to separate or distinguish parts of things and unite them into one. Then to judge the qualities of the objects by carefully separating or distinguishing, then to compare for the purpose of judging, etc. You get in there, you dig it apart, you look at it, you spiritually discern it, and you put it back together and you figure it out. When we're looking at this, it includes this. The Old Testament and the New Testament. It also includes the Holy Spirit. It also includes prayer. When we're comparing, there's a whole lot that goes into this, and I'm trying to keep it simple so we can understand and grab a hold of this tonight and get something out of this and be a blessing to you. When we're taking apart and to collect, to join, to mingle, to unite together, then separate or distinguish parts of it, then unite them into one. Then to judge the qualities or objects by carefully separating or distinguishing, then to compare the purposes of judging, etc. Old Testament, New Testament, Holy Spirit, and prayer. These things are also important to Christian growth, spiritually. I had three things that we have to have for spiritual growth. Number one, salvation. To have the Spirit, as it's written in chapter number 2 and verse 12, which is of God. The three things to grow spiritually. We have to have salvation. I believe another thing that we have to have that's essential to spiritual growth is prayer. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. We have to have prayer. We have to be saved, and then for God to hear our prayers, we have to be saved. And then we pray, and he hears our prayers, and Christ is our intercessor with our prayers. Brother Raymond said sometimes we don't know what to pray. God knows that. Jesus is our intercessor. He puts it up there just as plain as can be, just as understandable, as plain as English as we could ever speak. A lot plainer than what I can speak. Salvation, prayer, daily Bible reading. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So for three things that I believe are essential and need to be there for spiritual growth, salvation, prayer, and daily Bible reading, because to grow spiritually, we have to get in the Bible. And I'm going somewhere here with this spiritual growth. It says, but the spiritual judgeth all things in our scripture that we're reading tonight. The judgeth means to investigate, examine, inquire, to scrutinize, to sift out, and to question all things. When I looked at this and I was looking at three things that are essential to Christian growth, I thought about three biblical things that'll help us tonight. When we're reading our Bible, the first thing I saw was that there was studying and no Bible contradictions. There are none. The only time that the word contradiction is spoken concerning the Bible that I've ever heard of relates to our slackness in a study to find out Bible truths. Every time I've ever had a question, every time I've come across something and I said, well, that's a contradiction right there. I'd never let it go. I'd always dig deeper. I'd start to study. Because I've always been taught to and always preached to that there are no contradictions in the Bible. Well, I'm one of these people, I got to figure it out for myself. Man's words can lead you astray. But you need to dig it out for yourself. When we're spiritually growing, we got to get in the Bible and we got to find out these truths. There are no contradictions in the Bible. Every time I've ever studied one out that I thought they might have a question about, I've always found the Bible to be true. Without error and without contradiction. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." For good spiritual growth, there can't be any Bible contradictions. We've got to get in there and we've got to dig this out. Biblical living was another one. We should also examine the things that we see and hear to judge if they're up to with God, if they're in line with the Lord. Proverbs 20:11 says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." The Bible says that we should judge all things, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Whenever we see things, we need to figure out if it lines up with the Lord or not. "Even a child's known by his doings, whether it be pure and whether it be right." Matthew 7:16 says, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." Verse 18, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." So as we're growing, we're reading our Bible. We've been saved. We're praying. We're reading our Bible. We're reading our Bible. There's no Bible contradictions. And then we take the biblical living to make sure things line up with the Lord that we're living. And then there's biblical answers. And what I'm getting at is with this. I hear a lot of people, and I hear it all the time, saying they prayed about it. You know, "I've prayed about it. You know, I got peace about it." And that's a wonderful thing. But as we're growing spiritually, if you're not digging in God's Word and you're not reading God's Word on a daily basis, you're missing a third of the, and I'll just call it the puzzle. I'm not saying this is the Trinity, but what I'm comparing it to is a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? Three parts. Salvation, prayer, biblical digging, biblical reading to get answers from God. Without these three things, without the Holy Spirit, without prayer, and without the Bible reading, without any one of them, there's a piece missing to this. It's kind of like whenever you have an egg. You can't take a part of the egg away, the shell, the white, or the yolk, and still have an egg. There's just something missing. Our kids, we always relate it to a snowman. But when we're talking about the Trinity, it's, you take a snowman, it can't just have two parts, it's got to have three. You take apart the head, the middle, the bottom of it, it's not a snowman, it just don't look right. Whenever I'm saying this, I mean, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, and we pray. But when we're looking for truths and we're looking for answers from God, we need to be getting in our Bible. And we need to be digging these things out and looking for answers. God can't speak to us audibly. He can't do it. It's just, that was Old Testament when he was talking to people. Did you seek God's word for it? If you're seeking God's answers on something, praying for it many times just isn't enough sometimes. Prayer works on many things. It really does. Through the Holy Spirit, it can give us peace or apprehensiveness on some things. And you've been there before. You know that. I've heard it before. Well, I've got peace about this. I've got peace about this decision. That's wonderful. That's the Holy Spirit that works within you, God's Spirit that works within you. Or he'll give us apprehensiveness. I've had times where he just takes things. If I ask him to take it off my heart, if it's not him that's leading me, if it's the flesh, it'll just take it off my heart and not be there. But he'll also give me apprehensiveness, like run now. It's not the right thing. And that's the apprehensiveness that the Holy Spirit working within us that'll lead us and guide us a lot of the times. Peace, apprehensiveness, wonderful part of the Holy Spirit. But when we're also looking at this, so many things to find God's will, we need to compare spiritual to spiritual. Prayer, or the Holy Spirit guiding, and Bible searching, Holy Spirit showing. Okay, now this has just been a blessing to me over the years, and I just want to use this as an example, and we'll wrap this up for tonight. When we're talking about this, and church, what I'm trying to do is whenever you're seeking God's will and seeking things for the Lord, pray about it, yes, but also get in God's word and dig it out, see what he's got to show you. He speaks to us through here, through the Bible. And that's why God's word is so important that we read it and read it daily. I spend a lot of time in the Bible in the morning. And you say, well, you're a missionary, you don't have a job, you don't have to do this. I get up early, okay, early in the morning so I can read my Bible. I don't just throw it out there and I lazily go through my day. I get up early. I still got to get to school at 7:30 in the morning. But I get up early enough to where I can still read my Bible every single day because I want to know what God's got for me in it. But here's the thing, what I'm getting at. Comparing spiritual things to spiritual. Comparing prayer, Holy Spirit guiding, and the Bible, searching the Holy Spirit showing. For example, when I was called to preach, I knew the Holy Spirit was nudging me. And I'm just using myself as an example because this is the way that the Lord worked through me and helped me in the Scriptures. When I knew that the Lord was calling me to preach and nudging me and calling me in that direction, I asked my pastor, how do I know for sure? He just smiled at me. That was all he did. He said, you'll know. I just said, you're no help. He said, no. He said, God will show it to you in Scripture. And I was like, oh. I didn't know. I wasn't spiritually mature enough at that point in time, believe it or not, to know how much God would show me in Scripture over the next many, many years. He said, God will show it to you in the Scriptures. For the majority of decisions that we need to make, we need to be seeking God's word for his stamp of approval on things so we don't get ahead of him or out of his will. Okay? Don't get ahead of God. It's not a good place to be. And I just want to give you the examples that I've had that I've used in my life over the past, just from the time to call to preach, Jeremiah 1:6-9. That was the Bible God gave me whenever I was called to preach. Whenever we were praying about the youth ministry, the verse that's on our prayer card, Matthew 19:14. Suffer little children, forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. God gave us that scripture and nailed it down, said, this is where I need you. Whenever I was praying, Sharon was praying about going into the youth ministry, the prison prevention ministry, and working in the schools, it seemed like every time I picked up my Bible, every time I read it, child, children, child, children, child, children, God nailed it down. He's like, here's where I want you. And I was like, that's good enough for me. If you got my back on this, I'm ready for it. When we were trying to, when God put it on our hearts and we started looking at North Carolina and expanding the school ministry to the eastern portions of North Carolina, is still working in the west, but expanding it to the east and getting word down there where these people have never heard of this ministry before, Genesis 13:14. God answered us in Scripture, gave me Scripture for it. When we were becoming independent missionaries, when we started to, God put on our hearts to become independent, to step from Rock of Ages to be independent missionaries and work, be missionaries out of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, Luke 14:17-23. God nailed it down and convicted my heart hard over that. And I couldn't get away from it. Just recently, in a deacon's meeting, a couple days ago, concerning a matter of prayer, for the first thing out of my mouth, it was the scripture God gave me concerning that prayer request and what we were praying over. I said, here's what the Lord laid on my heart. And I mean, nailed it down. Church, don't miss it. If you're not reading your Bible, you're missing the solid answers that God's got for you for your everyday prayer requests. So what I'm saying is we need to be diligent in prayer, but also diligent in Bible reading to grow spiritually. And when we do this, we will grow spiritually. As we finish this up tonight, because Paul was dealing with the church at Corinth, what he's fixing to tell them is because you can't do this, because you can't grow spiritually, I could not speak to you unto a spiritual, but as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. And that's what we're going to get at next time. That's that second portion there. So I just wanted to get that out there and give us a hint. We need to be growing spiritually. And to do that, just a couple things there to help us along our way, because I think a lot of times we miss it by not reading the Bible as we should. And I know people got two or three Bibles, but it's still kind of, I don't see it in this church, but I go into a lot of churches that we visit, and you'll go in there and there's Bibles laying in the pews, and even the pastor will say, yeah, they just leave it here. They probably got another one at home, I don't know. But, you know, I don't think people read the Bible the way they need to, seeking God's answers for the things they have in life. And Paul's dealing with that with the Corinthians, and he's getting ready to say, well, because of that, I gotta deal with you as babes in Christ right now. He's wanting them to grow spiritually, but they're not there yet. So, church, that's it for tonight. It's a little after 8. If you'll come to your feet.